Today, I'll be talking about Jacob's deception. Some background. God has preordained Jacob to be a leader of the Israelites. And we also read in previous scripture that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. So there is favoritism between the parents. And the favoritism is that the father loves the elder boy, and the mother loves the younger boy. Favoritism is unfair preference between people. So, and that is not good because it leads to many unhealthy relationship among people, especially in a family. I'm sure many of you parents would realize that somehow you are drawn to a particular boy or a girl in your family. The boy or the girl may be cuter, may be clever, may be good looking, whatever the reason. Favoritism is to be avoided. And favoritism is a sin in James chapter 2, verse 9. Let me move on as to Jacob's issue with favoritism. So the scripture has it that Rebekah overheard Isaac. Isaac was having a conversation with his elder, Esau, and about Isaac going to bless Esau with the best blessing. And Rebekah didn't like that because she wanted the best blessing for her younger boy, Jacob. And so Rebekah told Jacob to deceive Isaac into making his father believe that he was the elder and therefore getting the best blessing for himself. So let me read scripture to find out what exactly was a conversation between Isaac and Esau. Genesis 27:1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. Because Esau was a hunter, and he was a good hunter of deer. And his father loves deer meat. So he called upon Esau to go to the field and hunt him deer meat. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. So there you are. The conversation between Isaac and his son Esau, for Esau to go to the field to hunt deer meat for the father, so that after eating the deer meat, Isaac the father will bless Esau with the best blessing. And this was overheard of by Rebekah. Yes, and Rebekah loved Jacob and devised a plan to deceive Isaac into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. And this is a sin of favoritism and deception. Let me move on to the next slide. And Rebekah's plan was carried out by Jacob. So what was the plan? Let us go to the plan. Genesis 27, verse 6 onwards. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So Rebekah is going to tell Jacob what her plans are, what is her scheme to get the blessing for Jacob. Go now to the flock and fetch me from tents two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. So instead of having deer meat, Rebecca is going to ask Jacob to go to the herd to get goats, baby goats. So the baby goats, their flesh is as soft, as tender as a deer, and as savory as an delicious. And Isaac the father would love it. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So Jacob is quite smart. He knows that it's not that simple to deceive his father, because his skin is smooth, Esau's skin is rough and hairy, and Isaac is going to know the difference between Esau and him. And if he finds out that it is Jacob, the father is going to curse Jacob, and he will inherit a curse rather than a blessing. And that's his fear, and he told his mother that. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice. Go fetch me them. So he said, let the curse be on her. Don't worry about it. Listen to her. Get the goats for her to cook. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Of course, Rebecca knows exactly how it is to be cooked, so that Isaac will love the food and think it is venison meat from Esau. Then Rebecca took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. So the second thing that Rebecca did was to put furry clothing, which were Esau's, and put it on Jacob, so that Isaac, when he touches the clothing, he will think that it is Esau. Yeah, so very clever of Rebecca to do that. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. So to make Jacob as hairy as Esau, she put the fur of the goats on his hands and upon on Jacob's neck, so that Jacob feels hairy like Esau. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so, after preparing a very good meal of goat's meat, she passed it to Jacob to bring it to the father. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? So, very good scheme of things. Rebecca thought of many things to make this deception work before Isaac, to trick Isaac. You notice it was a very elaborate scheme. First of all, the food must be right. And she has thought all that to bring the baby goat. And she will cook it in a way that Isaac loves it, to think that it is being done by Esau. So that's one. Second, to have Jacob wear Esau's clothing, so that the smell and also the feel of the clothing is Esau, to deceive Isaac. Thirdly, to have the furry part of the goat to be on Jacob's skin, so that when Isaac feels Jacob, he feels like Esau, because Esau is hairy. And so all the fur on Jacob's hand and neck will feel like Esau, and Isaac will be deceived. So Rebecca thought of everything, yeah, almost everything. So let us watch the video and on the conversation between Isaac and Esau, and after that, the preparation of the scheme by Rebecca and Jacob. Again, I would like to caution you about watching the video. The conversation between characters are all made up. It is not true to the Bible. Of course, the events and all that may be slightly altered also, but I would like you to watch how there is this transaction or this collusion between mother and son, and how they put their scheme into work. It's a lot of wickedness, I would say, to try to take things for themselves in a dishonest way. Deception is a part of it. So watch and just pay attention. I will go on to the video now.
I'm an old man, Esau, and the hour of my death is near.
No, Father.
Now listen, listen to me. Take your bow, find some game, the finest in the herd. Prepare it and then bring it to me. When I've eaten my fill, then I'll give you my paternal blessing.
No, Father.
It is time. Don't argue. Do as I say, or I'll be gone. And you no longer have the chance.
Get Jacob. Tell him to come here at once.
God intended you to continue Abraham's line, not Esau.
Really? He told you so, did he?
When I was with child, I was in great pain. I sought the counsel of God. Two nations are within your womb, I was told. Two manner of men shall be delivered to you. The one is stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. You are the one who pleases God. You must understand that.
No, I can't do that to Esau. I've already taken his inheritance as firstborn. That's enough.
Really? You feel no call? You never sense a presence at your shoulder? Fetch me two young goats. I'll prepare a meal for your father. You can take it to him. He's nearly blind. He'll bless you.
Oh.
Don't you want the elder son's blessing? Don't you want to carry on the line begun by Abraham?
Not by deception.
All that counts is that you do it. Esau will turn us into Canaanites. Do as I say. This is God's will.
Good come from this.
This must be God's wish, or he would have made you the hunter and Esau the one who cares.
Don't bark. Feel my arms. No, it's not Esau.
Oh, quiet. It will work.
Father, I'm here.
So you see the collusion between mother and son. And of course, the conversation between mother and son were made up by the movie makers. Although they tried to keep it the main part of the conversation according to the narrative in scripture. So that would be quite good of you to understand that many of the ideas that came out from this collusion were from Rebecca. She was the main person who thought of the plan and told Jacob to proceed according to her plan. So let us move on. What is the spiritual lesson here? In what ways do we practice favoritism in our family, among friends, among colleagues, in school? Because it all started with Isaac liking Esau and Rebecca liking Jacob. And because of that, Rebecca is trying to get the best for Jacob from Isaac. Because Isaac wants to give the best to Esau, his favorite. And so we have favoritism in our family. Some of us may be known as prince or princess in a family. And of course, those who are known as prince or princess finds it very uplifting because you are being elevated. You're being exalted, praised, and liked by many people. But the point is that maybe not now, but later in life, you will find that there were actually a lot of hatred against the prince or the princess. Because in the family, those who are not princes or princesses hates those who are. And I must confess here that I was a so-called prince because I was the only boy in my family of my parents. The oldest and the only boy. So I was favored amongst all my siblings. Of course, it didn't bear on me that I was a favorite. I just lived life normally. I was not too badly treated by my parents. And I did what I had to do, and I was given what was given. So nothing much of it. But until later in life, I realized there was a lot of hatred. My sisters brought out the days when we were kids and said, look here, he had this, he had that, he had this, he had that. We didn't have any of those things. And I was quite shocked, actually, because at that time I was only a boy. I didn't realize that I was favored compared to my sisters, but that was it. So parents, be careful when you treat all your children, treat them equally, because your children will remember what you did when they were young. And it will come out later in life that you treated some of them as prince or princesses, and you didn't treat the rest the same way. And the rest got less, and this prince or this princess got more all the time. And then poor prince or poor princess, they will get to bear the brunt when they are later on in life. Similarly, among friends. You notice when you go out with friends, some friends are better treated, better, highly exalted, and they are better liked than you. One, they are richer, better looking, speaks better, and many, many other complementary factors. And that puts you lower down in the scale of being liked among friends. And so, poor thing, no? And naturally, there's jealousy, and those who are not so liked will say, look, this guy, you know, he's liked by everybody just because he's rich, just because he's good looking, and so on and so forth. So again, there is this envy and strife in a social circle of friends. Among colleagues, oh, the boss's blue-eyed boy. Yeah? He gets the best treatment from the boss. He doesn't have to do so much. The list goes on and on. And again, sometimes it may not be the blue-eyed boy's fault, so to speak, that he is good looking and he does his work and he gets on well with people, very sociable person. Therefore, he is a blue-eyed boy of the boss. But if you treat that colleague as a blue-eyed boy, the other members of the company is going to treat him with hatred because he is a blue-eyed boy. So that's where it will not do to practice favoritism in the company, because it's going to be bad for the company. It's going to cause division among colleagues. And because of the division, the work is not going to be done efficiently. and productivity will go down. In school, teachers panic. I'm sure many of you, when you were young, you hear in class, who so-and-so is teacher's pet. And the teacher always likes this particular boy or girl. And she or he gets to do many things instead of the rest of the class. Again, so the teacher's pet gets the blame, yeah, because he's well-liked by the teacher. And again, later on, the teacher's pet will also bear the brunt of difficulties in life because he was or she was the teacher's pet. So as you can see, the practice of favoritism generates a lot of strife, and not only in the family, among friends, colleagues, and even in school. So what should we do then to overcome this difficulty? Let me just move on here. How do we act without favoritism? One way is to praise or to reward based on performance, based on merit and fairness. Yeah, if a person does well at work, he brings in good return for the company, naturally he will be praised and he will be assessed better than the rest. So that therein lies fairness. And people in the company will know that, yeah, favoritism, so-called, in the company is based on performance in the company. Yes, and that's fair, right? So whenever you're in a social setting or in a family setting, fairness must be maintained. It cannot be a person is favored because of rather subjective values like good looks, good oratorical skills, and subjective values cannot be the basis of fairness in praising or favoring a particular person. It must be a fair basis on which a person is exalted over the next. And so the other people who are not exalted knows that it's fair. You know, he did better. Yeah? He performed better. And therefore, he deserves the praise. So even when we praise a person based on merit, there should be words of encouragement to those who did not perform as well. This is particularly true in a family setting. You have children who do well and children who don't. Yeah, you surely, it's natural to praise the child who did well. And then the rest, well, you should encourage them in a way that they will do better next time. Do not put them down, because then that will create strife. Those who are put down by you will look at those who you praise and hate those you praise. It's quite natural. I've come across this even in my extended family, my relatives, where there's children, and one child does better than the next. And the next child was very angry and sulking away, fuming away madly at the one who did well, better than her. So, and that is no good for a family, because it creates division, it creates strife, it creates hatred. So parents, I would encourage you to look at your family and see how you could spur them on equally, despite the differences in performance. And so, yeah, this is what I would like to share about favoritism. Okay, let me move on to the narrative in the Bible. And here is where the scheme is being executed in front of Isaac, the father. Jacob pretended to be Esau before Isaac, and Isaac was deceived by Jacob. And then after that, being deceived, Isaac blessed Jacob. Let me read from Genesis 27:18-27. Genesis 27:18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. So you see, to carry out this scheme, there must be trickery and lies. Yeah, he said he is Esau, when in fact he was Jacob. He said to Isaac, eat my venison when it was goat's meat. And Isaac said unto his son, how is that that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Another lie. Yeah. Isaac is puzzled. How come he managed to hunt the deer so quickly? And this Jacob had to lie that God brought the deer to him very quickly. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So see, Isaac is very smart too. He is almost blind. He couldn't see very well whether it's Jacob or Esau. And he wants to feel whether it's Esau. Yeah? So his touch, well, he's able to tell Esau by his touch. Naturally, we all know because Esau is hairy and Jacob is smooth. Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. See, Isaac is very astute too, despite his blindness. He can tell it is Jacob's voice, but his touch tells him it is Esau because of the fur of the boots on Jacob's hands. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. So Isaac, of course, after his preliminary assessment of whether it's Esau or Jacob, he gave in and blessed Jacob. And he said, and here's Isaac's blessing. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So lie again by Jacob. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venisons, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father said, Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him because the smell came from Esau's clothing. So again, he was confirmed that it was Esau and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. What here is the blessing of Isaac for Esau. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So it's a very complete and highly blessed blessing. Because people will serve Jacob, who's pretending to be Saul here. Nations will bow down to Jacob. Jacob will be Lord over all his brothers, and all his mother's sons will bow down to Jacob. And everyone who cursed Jacob will be cursed by God. Everyone who blessed Jacob will be blessed by God. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob. Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So we will stop here and we will move on in the slides. Esau realized that his blessing had been taken dishonestly by Jacob. After Isaac has blessed Jacob, Jacob left and Esau came in. And after realizing that Jacob had dishonestly taken his blessing from his father, Esau hated Jacob and wanted to kill him. So let me read on. Genesis 27, verse 31 onwards. When Esau returned from the hunting ground with venison for the father. And he also had made savory meat. Here is Esau also made savory meat after returning with the deer and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. So Isaac suddenly realized something is amiss. He trembled, you know, greatly, because he realized that he must have been cheated, you know. Someone came in pretending to be Esau and got the best of his blessing. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. So Esau, of course, was very angry, very hurt that his blessing has been cheated off. And he cried out to his father, still to bless him. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and have taken away thy blessing. So, of course, Isaac knew the whole story, that it was Jacob who came in to steal the blessing from him with deception. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? So, of course, Esau was very hurt, very angry. Jacob stole from him twice. Firstly, the birthright. Secondly, the best blessing from Isaac, which is for Esau. So he continued to ask Isaac for a second blessing. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? So Isaac was very straightforward with Esau. He said, I have made Jacob your lord. Jacob is now lord over Esau in the blessing. And Jacob has all the best things. What does Esau want from him? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. So he knew that he has been cheated of his best blessing, Jacob. And he cries out to Isaac for a second blessing, the lesser blessing. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. It was a second and lesser blessing for Esau. Esau hated Jacob and wanted to kill him. In verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. See how terrible it is. Hatred is so deep that he wants to kill Jacob. And that day will come when Isaac dies, when Isaac is dead. And Rebekah told Jacob to flee. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. So, of course, this is a small camp. Everybody gets to hear what's happening inside a tent. And the words of Esau that he wants to kill Jacob were told to Rebekah, the mother, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau as touching thee doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. That your brother is going to kill you because you have stolen his blessing. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee down to Laban, my brother, to Haran. So Rebekah, the mother, asked Jacob to escape, to run away, so as not to be killed by Esau. And tarry with him a few days until thy brothers be returned away. So stay with Laban in this Haran and stay with him until Esau's anger is subsided. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? So when Esau's anger is subsided, then he will send word for Jacob to return to Canaan. And the reason Rebekah wanted Jacob to leave is that he does not want to lose two sons in one day, because they will be fighting and both will be hurt, and he may lose both sons in the fight. So now I would like you to watch the video again, the part where Jacob has come in with goat's meat for Isaac to eat, and how Isaac then, after satisfying himself that it is Esau wrongly, and bless Jacob instead. And then after that, Esau came in, discovered the treachery by his brother Jacob, wanted to kill him. And how then all the strife and all the violence and hatred came to a head. And very sadly, due to favoritism. Now I will go to the video.
Is it Jacob or Esau?
Your firstborn, and I've done as you wished. I've brought you the food.
Come closer. Closer, my son, so that I may touch you.
Take the food that I prepared for you. And then you can give me your blessing.
The arm is the arm of Esau. But the voice is the voice of Jacob. Are you truly my son Esau?
Yes, I am. Your son.
Son, and kiss me. Yes, you are truly Esau. God give you the dew of heaven, the riches of the earth, grain, new wine in plenty. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. May you be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you. And a blessing on those who bless you.
Esau, come, sit up and eat. Then you can give me your blessing.
Why are you feeding me again? I've blessed you already. Who was it who brought food to me?
Jacob.
Damn it! First he takes my birthright, now he steals my blessing.
Esau, my son, what have I done?
Have you no blessing left for me?
I've given him everything. I've made him your master.
But you must bless me instead.
But I blessed him, and he must remain blessed. God saw me bless Jacob. He allowed it to happen. I cannot change that.
And bless me too. Bless me too.
You shall enjoy the riches of the earth and the dew of heaven, but you will live by the sword.
You deceive me once too often. I'll have your heart before sunrise.
You care nothing for us, nothing for who we are. I deserve the blessing of firstborn! Stop! Stop it! Esau! You curse your father's last days by murdering your brother!
I give you warning. Our father's days are numbered. And once he's been properly mourned, I'll kill you, brother, and never shed a tear. You die the day after he does.
You must leave here, Jacob. You must move on.
I'm not afraid of Esau!
Do as I say, or he will kill you. Then they will kill him. I don't want to lose two sons in one day.
There you are. It's a very tragic ending there. Two brothers, twins, in fact, separated because of strife and deceit and favoritism. So what is the spiritual lesson here? We learn in the scripture, favoritism led to deception and lies. Rebecca wants the blessing for Jacob, whereas Isaac was going to give the blessing to Esau. So there was deception on the part of Rebecca taught Jacob the scheme of making himself be like Esau and deceiving the father into blessing him. So Jacob had to lie to the father that he was Esau. And after that, when Esau came back, he realized that his best blessing has been robbed off from him by Jacob. There was hatred. And both brothers came to a head, and there were violence and fighting and even threat of killing And so Jacob had to flee. So, of course, this is the narrative in scripture. But the principle behind is that favoritism is the root cause of many things to come. There can be deception lies, there will be hatred, and so on and so forth. So parents, colleagues, and people who are working in workplaces, and even bosses of companies, we all learn from various narratives in the Bible what not to do and what to do. So God has already told us in the story of Jacob how favoritism is not good. And you would go on to see later on in Jacob's life that he favored Joseph. What happened in that story? So sometimes the same weakness affect generations down. The same weakness. Isaac showed favoritism to Jacob. Isaac showed favoritism to Esau. Rebekah showed favoritism to Jacob. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. And Joseph ended up as a slave because of the favoritism. And the story goes on in that narrative. So there will be, after that, there will be deception and hatred. So let me go on to the next point about deception. How do we feel about lying? Is lying okay? Many of us, we make a distinction between big lies and small lies. And we rationalize that, well, if there's no one is hurt by my lie, then it's okay. It's all right to lie. No one is hurt by it. But God knows. And God doesn't like lies because it is not telling the truth. Because God stands for the truth. And if we present a lie, a fault, a falsehood, it is not, that falsehood is not of God. So we must understand that big or small lies, they are still lies. And it does not mean that if we want to achieve a good end and we tell a little lie to achieve a good end, it's all right. No. Sometimes in a company, a lot of conversation among colleagues of the same level, and some colleagues consider that he has broken some rules. And then there was an investigation as to whether that colleague has broken a rule, and you could be asked, do you know whether he has broken a rule? And to protect your colleague, a good friend of yours, you say, you don't know. That's a lie, right? Even though you may think that, oh, it's a small lie. After all, I'm protecting my good friend from getting into trouble. So what do you do? What do you do in such a case? God has said, do not lie. So you have to decide in situations like this that God do not stand for lying under any circumstance. And you will also realize that some years ago, there was this big Ponzi scheme where billions of dollars were hived off, were deceived by investors in America. And it's not hidden or not unknown to everyone that Bernard Madoff, who confessed to the big lie to deceive investors of money, and many investors lost money. And we are not talking about big time investors. We are talking about people in the streets who lost their livelihood, who lost their savings. All their savings were into this Ponzi scheme, and they lost. And it's really tragic. So lying will lead on to many things. It is a slippery slope down. And if we start by a simple white lie that doesn't get anyone into trouble, in time to come, we will rationalize and go on to big lies, which we think is still for the good of the community. So we change our rationalization as we go along to satisfy the end of lying. So I will stop here and we will end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy loving kindness of this scripture story of favoritism of Isaac and Rebekah. How through the favoritism we have divided Esau and Jacob apart. And through favoritism came lies and deception, hatred and threat to kill. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we are also minded to know the ends of favoritism and to refrain from favoritism. Whether we are a parent or a boss or in many other social settings, let us not practice favoritism, for it is something which thou detest. And thou hast shown us many scripture stories that ended up in tragedies. So we pray, Lord, for wisdom from thee to refrain from favoritism, refrain from deception and lying, and to do that which is good and honoring to thee. For by our words, we show that we are a testimony unto thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for thy goodness and thy mercy upon us, and thy guidance and wisdom, that we may walk upon this road. Thy praise and glory. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.